Begin the current daf Maseches Yuma, daf Mem Zayin. We begin the next parak, the fifth parak of Maseches Yuma, parak Hetziulai. Now, as we have explained many times, the process and the avodah of Yom Kippurim is basically five different phases, which he transitions the Kohen Gadol, who does the avodah, the entire avodah of Yom Kippur by himself, transitions from the Shmoyne Begadim to the four Begadim, that of the white linen ones, then back to the gold ones, then back to the white ones, and then back to the gold ones. Those are the five different phases. So the entire Maseches Yuma basically goes through that structure, and beginning with the 7 days before the Kohen Gadol that's separated, going through the avodah of Yom Kippurim. On that, we have already, up until this point, have already spoken about the first phase, that of the Big Day Zav, when he did the Tumot Shel Shachar, which is done every single morning. Then he immersed in the mikveh, and he put on the Big Day Lavan, the white linen garments, and then he went to do the smicha and the vidur on his bull between the Ulam and Mizbeach. Then he went to the northeastern part of the Azar, where he did the lottery on the two different Seirim, the he-goat that goes Lashem and one goes Lazazel. Then he came back to his bull, did smicha and vidur, then he did vidur again, which is then he included the Kahanim, not only him and his family. Then he slaughtered it, and he received the blood, gave it to someone else to mix. Then he went to the top of the Mizbeach with the shovel to get the coals to then bring inside with the Keteris inside Lefnai V'Lefim, inside the Kachi Kachim. Which brings us to the current point of the Masechta we're up to right now, which is now getting the Keteris. So he got the coals ready from the top of the Mizbeach. Now he's going to get the Keteris, which these are the two items that he brings into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do the once a year Keteris in front of the Aron, which is, again, he brings in with one hand the shovel of the coals, and one hand he brings in the ladle of the Keteris. So that's where our Mishnah begins. Hetziulai, they brought out for the Kohen Gadol from the Lishkas HaKelim, which is the special chamber that had the utensils inside over there. They brought him out two different utensils. Esakaf Vesamachta, the ladle and the shovel. And Chafen Mele Chafnav, then he went and he scooped up his handfuls of Keteris from the shovel. And then that's the measurement of how much he has to bring in and do the Keteris inside Lefnai V'Lefim, which is his handfuls. And then he puts that into the ladle. The Mishnah tells us how Gadol Lefi Gadloi, the large kind according to his measurements of his handfuls, V'Kad Lefi Katnoi, and the small, the kind that has smaller hands, according to his hands, V'Kad Chayis Midasa. And this was its measurement. The Gemara doesn't explain what does these enigmatic words mean, that this was its measurement. Then the Mishnah concludes, so moving on with the process, he would put the shovel in his right hand, and the ladle in his left hand, and this would begin the process going into the Kachi Kachim to bring the once a year Keteris inside the Holiest of Holies. Now the Gemara first asks a question on the Mishnah, which the Mishnah began by saying, oh, they take out for him now, one they bring him out a shovel, and the other one a ladle. The Gemara asks, Machta, they bring him out now a shovel? But Tanile, we already learned this in the earlier part of the process, on the Mem Gimel and Beis, where we said that Notel Esamachta, they brought out, he took a shovel, V'Alaresh Mizbech, and he went up to the top of the Mizbech, V'Chayse V'Yared, and then he shoveled out some of the coals, and he came down, and that was before he went and took the handfuls of the Keteris. So that means he already had the shovel. What is it net now they bring him out of a shovel? So the Gemara says there's two different shovels. Hasamachta de Gichalim. That was talking about the shovel of the coals, which was the earlier part of the process, right before we take out the incense, the different things that were compounded, that first he took out the coals. Here where they took out now a shovel, is a different shovel. It's a shovel that was full with keteris, which then from that shovel full of keteris, he would take his handfuls from that shovel and then put that into the ladle. Tiny like William the Bryson. It says, and they would take out for him an empty ladle from the chamber of the vessels, which that was where he would put into that ladle, he would put in his handfuls. And they would also bring him out a heaping shovel full of keteris from the chamber of Beis Avtinas. And that was the family that made they compounded and they made the keteris. So that was the shovel. So it was two different shovels. They brought him the shovel and the ladle because he would take the handfuls from the shovel and put that into the ladle. And then he had that other shovel that he had taken before, which was for a different purpose, for the coals that he was taking in with one hand the coals and one hand the keteris that he had taken from that shovel full of keteris into the ladle. Now, the Mishnah told us that chafin malei chafnaf, so he would scoop up his handfuls of keteris, which was, again, from this new shovel that had the keteris inside of it. And then he put that into this spoon, into this ladle. Hagadol fi gadlai, the larger kayan according to his measurements of his hands. Hagadol fi kadnai, and the small one according to his measurements. V'kachayis midasa, and that was his measurement. So the Gemara asks, kaf b'yemi kippur m'lamalei. What's going on over here? Why are we even having a kaf, a ladle? But the pasuk says, melichafnaf, it says that it should be his handfuls behavior, and then they should bring that amrachman. The Torah says nothing about taking a kaf. It says you'll bring him out a shovel, which will be heaping that he could scoop up, and then he takes the scoop full of his hands, and he brings that into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is this ladle that we're putting it first into that ladle and then bring it in? So that the Gemara answers, Mishum Deliavsha, because it's not possible any other way. The reason why we have the ladle is because it's not feasible. As the Gemara explains, Dehechin Avin, what should we do? Let's say you're right. Let's say the only thing we're supposed to bring in is our handfuls, and there's no vessel here that it's supposed to go into. But how, we have two items that we have to bring in. We have to bring the shovel full of coals, and then the keteris, which goes onto the coals, and then that burns up and makes the smoke inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, what should we do? Ni'ayil, should we first bring in the machta, the shovel full of coals? Then, v'hadina'il, then come later, because obviously if one has his hands full of keteris, he can't be holding a shovel full of coals too. So what do you propose he does? So first, go in one time, bring in the shovel full of coals. Then, v'hadina'il, then come back in the second time with your hands full with the keteris. And that the Gemara says, that's not possible. Hava achas amrachman. The Torah tells you, you come in one time with the coals and the keteris together, v'leish tehavas, and not to come in two different bringings. And that's because, as the pasuk says in Yikut Tezayin, v'lokach maloi hamachta gachli eshal, take a shovel full of fiery coals, me'al mezbech, from tab of the mezbech, u'maloi chafnav, and his handfuls of keteris, v'hevi me'beis la'pareches, and I'll bring that from within the area of the pareches. So you see that it's one hava, one bringing, that includes both these items. So you can't do it in two different shifts. Now, if you're going to say, and you'll say as follows, Nishkalei l'kateres b'chafnav, you're right, his hands are definitely going to be occupied because he's going to take the fistful, his handfuls of the keteris. But v'nachti l'machta lo, let them put the shovel full of coals on top of his handfuls of the keteris, v'leil, and going like that. You could do that at one time, so why did we have to put the handfuls of the keteris inside a ladle? And then the Gemara says, that would still be problematic. Because Kimati Hasim, when you get in, the Kohen Gadol gets in, he's there by himself. Hechi Levin, what does he do now? He has his hands full of keteris, and on top of that is a shovel full of coals. Now, if you would say Nishkele Bishina, you say he should take it off, because he has his hands occupied, so how is he going to get the shovel full of coals off to the ground to then put the keteris on top of it? So if you say that, he should take it with his teeth, and then Benachti Lamata, and thereby put it down, and all the while holding the keteris in his hands. But the Gemara says, you can't say that. If in front of a flesh and blood king, no one would do that. It's inappropriate to do that with one's teeth and bite and put it down. So to be doing that in front of the king of all kings, the creator of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, most definitely that's not a possibility to be doing it with one's teeth. So therefore the Gemara says, so therefore there is no other way to do it. And therefore, the kibbutz le'efsha, since it's not possible to bring it in with one's hands full with the keteris, as that's all that's what's necessary, but it wouldn't be able to do that and to have the shovel full of coals. So therefore, avdinon k'da'ashka b'nasim. Therefore, we do as we find, like by the Nasim, by the Chanukahs of Mizbeach, by the Chanukahs of the Beis Hamikdash, when they came ahead, the Nasim of the Nasi of every Shavid brought, as the pasuk says, kaf achas malei keteris, one spoonful of keteris, and therefore here also, since it's not feasible any other way, we find a precedent like that a spoonful of keteris is brought in, so therefore he would bring it in a spoonful, but then yes, ultimately, that is what's brought inside, is the handfuls, but you can't bring it in with your handfuls, and that's why we have to do it in the format of a spoon, of a ladle, and with the shovel of coals, because although we don't need a ladle necessarily, but it just wouldn't be feasible any other way. Now, the Mishnah told us, Natal esamachta bimin. The Mishnah concluded by saying that the shovelful of the coals, not the shovelfuls of the keteris, because that was only to provide him to take his handfuls and put that into the ladle. But when he's going into the kachar kachar, he would have the right hand had the coals inside of it, v'esakaf b'smol, and his left hand was containing the ladle that had the keteris. So the Gemara asks, that seems improper, because yetziva ba'ara, and by way of analogy, the Gemara says a metaphor is that the resident, the citizen, which is a reference to the keteris, which is the most chashav. It's really the main ingredient of what the keteris is, of that part of the process. So the yetziva, the resident, is ba'ara, is on the ground, meaning low down, and the convert, the one that's coming here, he's just passing through, he's in the heavens, he's on the top. In other words, a reference to the gecham, to the coals, the right is always the more prominent hand. So the keteris, which is the main thing, the fire is just to be able to burn it. There's the coal should go in the left hand. That's the ger. It's the one that's just passing by. It's not a citizen. That should be in the left hand, and the Keter should be in the right hand. Why is it reversed? So now the Gemara answers, Zumiruba. The coals are more. It's very heavy to carry it, and that's why you need the right hand, Bezumoetis. And the Keteris is not so much, it's little, and therefore that goes into the left hand. So for that technical reason, it makes sense to have the coals in the right hand and the Keteris in the left hand. Now the Gemara tells us, Vafilu Bezman Shnein Shavim. And that the truth is that even when they're both equal, for example, if let's say you have a Kohen, that his handfuls are very large, and he would scoop up 3 kav of Keteris, and you have 3 kav of the coals, even so, since most of the Kahanim Gedolim, their coals are more than their handfuls, we still take the kav of the Keteris in the left hand and the coals in the right hand. Ukamaisa Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, that his mother's name was Kimchas, as the Gemara will illustrate why he was named after his mother. However, although it would be possible that, as the Gemara will say, that he even had more Keteris than the coals, which is usually not like that, not the way it is, still we're going to have the Keteris in the left hand and the coal in the right hand, because that's predominantly, by most people, the one that carrying the heavier load, and that's what you put in the right hand, as the Gemara says, because Zuchama, another ingredient here is that the coals are hot, and therefore again one needs to have the more flexibility and the strength in the right hand, and Zutainenis, whereas the Keteris is cold, and therefore we don't need to have that much as strength as we do for the coals, and therefore that's going to be in the left hand, and the coals are going to be in the right hand. Now the Gemara says, as we just said, that Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas, that even though most Kahanim had more coals than the Keteris, because their hands weren't as big to contain 3 kav, which is what the amount of the coals were, but Amar Alava Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas, Shayachifin Arbas Kavin b'Malei Chafnav, he actually scooped up 4 kav in his handfuls, which is even more than the amount of the coals. Vayman, he said, by way of showing why is it that he became so strong and so big, Kol Anashim Zerdu. All the women were Zered. V'Zered Ima Olagag. However, the Zered of my mother went up to the roof. In other words, is stronger than all of them. So the Gemara has 2 interpretations of what does this Zered mean, that his mother Zered was greater than all the other women Zered. So Igadarmi, there are those that say that Zered means Biarsin, regarding their cereal, their nutritious food that they would eat. And that is, this arsin, this cereal, that is healthy for people that are ill. As the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Yonasan, Dam Rabba Bar Yonasan, Amr Michiel, Arsin Yafel Chayla. This arsin, which as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachas, Tavlam and Zainim and Aleph, are a certain type of grits that they would break down the pieces of the grains, and they would use that for the people that were ill to eat it. It would make them stronger. Now, what Shmuel ben Kimchas was saying was that all women, when they're pregnant, are generally a little bit ill, they're not as in a healthy state as regular women are. Therefore, they instituted for them to have Zared and this arsin that we're saying, this type of cereal, to make them healthy and nutritious. Now, although all pregnant women eat that, but my mother's was the highest quality, and therefore, because of that she ate that when I was in utero, that's why I'm stronger and greater than most people, because of the quality of the food that my mother ate when she was pregnant with me. Now, the Igadarmi, those say a different interpretation of Zered. It means a reference b'shichva zer regarding the semen, and that is, the child is not born from every single part of the semen that goes from the male to the female. Rather, it's selected from there, there's one drop that goes, and even in that, there's only part of that that develops the actual fetus itself. And therefore, what he's interpreting Zered is from the term of Chavili Zrodim, which is a term of winnowing, which is a selection process. That is, my mother's body, her womb selected the highest quality of the semen, and that was Olagag that went all the way to the top, which developed the child, and that's why I'm greater and stronger and bigger. As the Gemara says, because Rebbe Vo posed the following contradiction. Ksiv, it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, that David HaMelech says, V'tazreini chai la'mochama, that you girded me with strength for the war. Ksiv, however, says another pasuk, V'tazreini, and the Gersa is supposed to be, V'tazreini chai la'mochama, and that you made me strong to have strength for the war. Now, although it sounds like it's the same pasuk, however, one has without an aleph, the first pasuk has without an aleph, and the second pasuk has with an aleph. Now, the one without an aleph, it sounds like the word of Zaira, which is the term of winnowing. That means the selection of the drop of the semen from that I was selected to be strong. And then the other one has with an aleph, which sounds like the word of Ezer, Yisrael Begvura, which sounds like a term of strength. So why does one have without an aleph and one has with an aleph? So I'm a double from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is what David HaMelech said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nishalah, master of the world, there are two things that you made to make me so great. First, Zeri Sani. First, you winnowed me, meaning even from the semen, you first chose, which is the process of winnowing, which one throws in the psalus, which is not good quality, gets thrown away. So first you winnowed me, and that is with the drop that it actually was the highest quality. And then even more than that, Vizeraz Tani. And then that part which was chosen, you even girded me from the most select choice, and you made that strong. Those are the two things that he was thanking Hashem for. And that's the point of what Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas was saying too, that he was chosen from the highest quality semen, which was that's the part he was developed from. And that's why he was stronger and bigger, and that's why his handfuls were so big to get even 4 kav of the Keteris, because of the Shechva Zera that he was born from. Now the Gemara continues on Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas, that Amr Lava Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas, they said regarding him, that Pam Achas, one time, it was Yom Kippurim, Sipur Dvar Mim Arvi Achad Beshuk. He was talking with an Arab in the marketplace. Vinitza Tzinaira. Now there was a flow, which means to say that there was some spit that came out from that Arab, Mipir, from his mouth, Abogadav, on the garments of Reb Shmuel ben Kimchas, the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, Vinichnas Yeshev of Achiv Vashimish Tachtav. So therefore, Yeshev of his brother, he went and served in place of him to be the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, because he became Tamei. V'rasa Iman Shnei Kohen Gadol B'yom Echad. And their mother, Kimchas, saw her two sons being Kohen Gadol on the same day, because her first son started off and he became Tamei, and his brother took over. V'shuv Amar Allah V'al B'shmol Ben Kimchas. And again, another incident they say regarding B'shmol Ben Kimchas, that Pamachas Yatsa, one time he went out, again on Yom Kippurim, V'siprim Hegman Echad B'shuk, and he was talking with one of the rulers in the marketplace, a non-Jewish ruler. And then some spittle spit out from the mouth of that hegman, that adon, on his garments, and therefore he became tamei. And therefore his brother Yosef went and served in place of him to be the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. And their mother saw two Kohen Gadolim on one day doing the avodah. Now more than this, the Gemara actually says, turn around, look in the Braisa. Shiva banim hayu lo kimchas. There were 7 sons that Kimchas had. And all of them she saw serve in the position of Kohen Gadol. Not that they passed away, because that wouldn't be a bracha and a ma'ilav, but rather it's saying that these type of stories where one became Tamei, the other one took over. She saw all 7 of them serve in the position of Kohen Gadol. So Amalek Chacham, the sages said to her, what did you do that you married to have all your sons be Kohen Gadol? So Amalek Chacham, she said to them, there never was a time that the walls of my house saw Kali Sa'ari, the braids of my hair. And she was saying that it was my her modesty that caused her to have such great children. As Rashi brings from the Talmud Yerushalmi, from the Pasuk that says, Kol Kavuda Bas Melech Penima, that all the glory of the daughter's king is being inside. Me Mishpatzei Zav Levusha, that her garments are from the Mishpatzei Zav. Now what that means is that to be inside a isha that has that senua, that's modest, it's fitting for her to have a child to be the Kohen Gadol who wears the mishpat seizav. That's one on one of the shemayim begadim, and that's what she was alluding to say. It was her modesty that caused her to have her 7 sons become the Kohen Gadol. However, Amalah the Chacham said to Harba Asur Kain Velo Yilu. There are many women that did like you, and the braids of the hair never saw the walls of their house. However, their sons still didn't become the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion that we were talking about in our Mishnah regarding the process of chafina, of the scooping up the handfuls of the keteris, which is then taken inside the kachem kachem. Related to that, the Gemara will discuss a similar sister sugya, which talks about the kaimitz, the fistful that one has to take for every flower offering, that there's a kaimitz, a fistful that goes, which is burnt on the mizbech, and the rest are called the shirayim, the remnants which are eaten. So the Gemara will draw a parallel between these two sugyas. So Tarban Linda Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra Bukumtzai, that with his fistful, where the Pasuk says, the hair mimenu Bukumtzai, that he will elevate from it, from that whole flower offering, a fistful. Misail, as the Pasuk there continues, Misailas HaMincha Mishamna, from the flower of the Mincha and its oil, Veskal HaLavoyna Asher Al Mincha, and all the frankincense that's on the Mincha, Vehiktar Mizbech, Reich Nechayach Haskras LaShem, and he's going to sacrifice it on the Mizbech, which will be for a pleasing aroma. That's the reminder to Hashem regarding this Mincha that's being brought. And then the rest is eaten. Now, from that, the Braisa learns a drasha. It says, Bukum Tzai. with his fistful. What that means is, shloyasa midal kaimetz, that he shouldn't make a measurement for the kaimetz. What that means is that there shouldn't be a vessel that he puts aside, meaning one time, he knows his fistful, because he's done it a few times, and whatever that amount was, now he makes a certain vessel that has that measurement, and then he could go ahead, every time he has a mincha, he doesn't have to actually take his kaimetz, he could just go ahead and measure that amount and bring it on the mizbeach. That's what the Braise is saying. The Pasuk is telling you that you cannot do that. It has to be bekumtza, it has to be your actual fistful, and you can't have a specific measurement that's used for that. Now, related to that, which is related to our sugi, Ibailu, they had the following question. What is the halacha? Can we make a specific measurement for the handfuls of the keteris that the Kohen Gadol takes inside Lefnei V'lifnim? Which means, say, every year he does this, he knows what his amount is. Could he just take this cup or this bowl or whatever it is that has he knows the amount? Can he have a specific measurement, or does he actually have to use his hands to scoop it up? So the Gemara explains the question. Hasim hudechsev bekumtzai, regarding the flour offering that of a carbon mincha, where it says clearly the vav at the end says bekumtzai with his fistful. Therefore, there you can't make a measurement. You have to do it with your hands. Here, where it doesn't say with his handfuls, Ella, rather, the actual term it says is maloi chafnav, the fullness of his handfuls, keteris amimdaka, should be a keteris of these different herbs that are compounded very fine, which means to say that if a person would make a measurement that would contain the amount of his handfuls, then that would classify in the category of maloi chafnav vehevi. That would be included, that he's bringing the fullness of his handfuls. In other words, it's saying a measurement. It's maloi chafnav, that's how much he has to bring, but not that it has to be chafnav. It doesn't have to be that he has to do it with his handfuls. And therefore, loi. Maybe regarding the chafina, the kataris, one would not have to go ahead and actually do it with his hands. Because you don't have to, it doesn't say to do it bichafnav with his handfuls, it says maloi chafnav. The amount, the fullness of his chayfin, of his handfuls, that's how much has to be brought in. And maybe here is different than the kaimetz of a mincha. And you actually could just do it with a measurement, and you don't have to do it with your handfuls. Or maybe the Gemara says, yalef maloi maloi mekumtza. Maybe we learn out the term maloi, which says by chafina, from the term maloi, which says by kemitza, where there's a different pasuk that says, amedikar beis, v'kamatz misham maloi kumtza, that by the kabin mincha, that he should take a fistful, from the mincha, a full fistful, which, and therefore, just like we know by the kaimitz, where it has to be bukum tzai, it has to be with his actual hands and his fist, and not with a measurement. Maybe here, where we're learning maloi maloi, they both say maloi, here also the amount has to be that it's doing with his actual scooping up with his own hands, and not with the midah. Says the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's learn a resolution to this question from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah had this enigmatic statement when it spoke about the chafina taking the handfuls of the keteris, whether it's large hands or small hands. So it said v'kachos midas, and this was its measurements. So my love, what does it mean to say shemrotz alasus midah, that if you want to make a measurement for the chafina, for the handfuls, that oisa, that you could do it, and that is as the Mishnah had said, the person that has a big hand according to his big hands, and the small hands according to his small hands. But it's saying, "V'kachayis midasa." What do those words mean? Obviously, that means this is a measurement, but you don't actually have to use your hands. You could just take that amount. And I think Rashi's law, it's not a raya from our Mishnah, because hachikama, our Mishnah was saying a different concept. That v'kach, that in other words, in the same amount, that's what it means. V'kachayis midasa, that this midah, which was taken the first time around when you had this big shovel that was brought out from the base of Tinas with the keteris, and he scoops up that amount, however big his hands is, to make that malei chafnav, that is what it's saying. That's the amount that he would then go ahead and again scoop up inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because as we said, the only way to transport it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holiest of Holies, was with a kaf, with a ladle, as we had earlier demonstrated. So then, but once he gets inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he pours from the spoon back into his handfuls, and then from there he puts it onto the coals that's on the shovel, and therefore that's what the Mishnah is saying. That kachayis midasa, this is the same measurement that you did the first time scooping up. That's going to be the same amount that you're going to scoop again from this ladle that you put it into, transporting it in, and then to put that onto the coals. That's what it meant for kachayis midasa. But not to say that you could use a midah, a measurement, but it's just that's going to be the same amount when you do it the second time. But the Gemara asks on this. But then if that's the case, then that's the interpretation of our Mishnah, then Shami Mina, then we could hear from that that Chayfin B'Chayzah B'Chayfin. Obviously, you're saying that our Mishnah is telling us that that's Kachayz Midasa, that if you first scoop it up the first time from the shovel full of Kataris, then you put it into the Kaf, into the ladle, then you transport it in. And then, once you're in, you're saying Kachayz Midasa is that you take it from the ladle and you put it back into the fistfuls, and into the handfuls, and then you put it back in the Kataris. But, however, the Gemara later on, Daf Mem Testament of, actually asks it as a question, if we are chayzeh b'chayfin, if we go ahead and have to put it from the ladle back into the handfuls and put it on the keteres or not, and one could just pour it straight from the kaf onto the coals. And however, what's the question? If we just clearly demonstrated that our Mishnah means, kal chayzeh midasa means to say that you have to put it back into the handfuls, and that's what kal chayzeh midasa is. Then the Gemara says no, because, in other words, it's not clear either way. Dilma, what we meant to say was maybe Shimratzalasa's midaisa. No, because maybe if you do want to make a measurement, maybe you could make a measurement. And maybe that's what the Mishnah means. And therefore, what the Gemara is saying is that you can't prove the ability to make the midah, the measurement, and you also cannot prove the concept of chayzav chayfin, because either way I could say no, maybe that's the interpretation, or maybe that's the interpretation. So therefore, again, the Gemara still has a legitimate question on Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph, that are we chayzav chayfin or not? Because you could say that when the Mishnah says kal chayzav midasa, I meant to say that you can make a measurement. And therefore we don't know if one goes ahead and is chayzav chayfin. However, we still have a question regarding if you're allowed to make a measurement, because although our Mishnah says kal chayzav midasa, maybe that means that chayzav chayfin. So either way, it's not clear, and therefore both questions are still legitimate. Inami, another interpretation is that when the Mishnah said kal chayzav midasa, it was talking about something totally different. And therefore, we don't have to say that it meant chayzav chayfin to ask on the question on Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph if we are chayzav chayfin or not, because what it meant to say was that kal chayzav midasa means to say this is the measurement. In other words, it should be exacting. That is, shalei chaser v'shalei yais, meaning that you shouldn't have any less than your malei chafnav or any more. And therefore, again, the question about midah has not been resolved, because although we try to bring a proof from our Mishnah that it's kachayis midasa, it doesn't mean that it was a measurement. It just means it has to be exacting that amount. You can't have any more or any less. Now, the Gemara continues related to this, again, regarding to the kaimitz and the chafina, which are similar, that they're both done with the hands of scooping up. One's regarding the flour offering, and one's regarding the kataris on Yom Kippurim. Starting with the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk regarding the Mincha, it says, Meloi kumtzai, that he has to scoop up a full fistful of the flour offering with the oil, and that's brought on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten. Now, the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Yochel Mavuritz. You would think that when one is taking the fistful of the flour offering, that it could be popping out from his hand. In other words, you take it up, you scoop it out, and generally when you do that, you have flour sticking out of your fingers on all sides. Tamalon Bukumtze, that's why it says, his fistful, meaning only what's in the fist, nothing outside you can't have. Now, however, Ibukumtze, if it only said the word his fistful, Yochla Filibarashe Itzpa'isav, I would think that even if it's just on the tip of his finger, in other words, that he only scooped up a little bit, not his whole entire hand, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, but rather he only scooped up what's in the top of his fingers. Tamalay Mimaloi Kumtze, that's why it said, Maloi Kumtze, to say a full fistful, as kidikamtsi inchi, like people generally take when they take a fistful. Okay, so how is that? Chayfesh sholesh etzpa'esav, he covers his three fingers, al pisas yadoi, on top of the palm of his hand, so not just the fingertips, and not anything popping out. Rather, one covers his fingers over his palm, al pisas yadoi b'kaimitz, and then he scoops it up. That's how it's done with a regular flour offering, that which is taken when it's flour. However, we continue on to Amud Beis, ubemachavas ubemarcheshes, however, regarding a flat pan mincha and a deep pan mincha, which these are types of minachas that are fried, which first they're baked, and then they're broken down. The pieces that were baked are broken down. Now, this is a more challenging type of a kemitza, that for the pieces that are sticking out, more than a kemitza, the fistful of a mincha soilus, which is a mincha that's taken from flour, where there the extras just fall by the wayside by themselves, and therefore you end up getting kumtzai and nothing more than that. You could have just a fistful and you don't have anything popping out, which we said has to be kumtzai. So what does one do when he's doing it with this machavas marcheshes, where they have all the pieces sticking out because they were baked already? So in that, the Gemara tells us that moichik begoidle milmala, he flattens off, because the fistful is with the three fingers, so with the top, with his thumb on the top, he smooths out the birutz and the pieces that are sticking out from the top, so that shouldn't be part of the kemitza. Ube etzba ketan milmata, and then he does it with his pinky, with his small finger on the bottom, to wipe off those that are sticking out from the bottom. There should only be kumtzai and nothing more sticking out. And this, the Braisa tells us that this is the most, this is the difficult avoida in the base of Mikdash to do this type of a kemitza with this type of menachas. Now the Gemara asks on this, Zuhi Besulai, this is the most difficult avoida in the base of Mikdash, that of doing the kemitza on these types of flower offerings because the pieces are sticking out, and so you should get exact that it shouldn't be any less or any more. But Vaha'ika Malika, there's also Malika, which is the type of slaughtering that the Kohen would do with his, it was the fingernail of his thumb that he would stick it into the back of the bird's neck, which would then be severing the simonim of the bird. That would be the shechita for the bird, where the Braisa later on also says, Bezui avoyde kasha, that was a very difficult avoyde. And also, avoyde chafina, there's also the handfuls of the ketores, which is the second handfuls, which is done inside the kodesh kodeshim, which a Braisa later on, Daf Mem Tesem and Beis, will also tell us, Zui avoyde kasha was very challenging because he had to be able to manipulate getting from the kaf, the ladle, into his handfuls, which have to be full. So, how are you going to get that inside your hands when you can't have one hand going to the other hand? So that was also difficult. So why are we saying that the kemitza was avoyde kasha if these are also called avoyde kasha? How could they all be the hardest? And then the Gemara says, elazuhi me avoydes kasha b'migdash. What we meant to say was that the kemitza is from one of the hardest. Yes, there are many hard ones. There's malika, there's the chafina, but kemitza was also a very challenging one, specifically for the machvas and macheshes, to be able to get exactly just a fistful, nothing more and nothing less. Now, related to this discussion of the kemitza and the chafina, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Amar b'yechna, boy Rabbi Shu ben Uzzah. Rabbi Shu ben Uzzah asked the following question. So he said that when one takes the kemitza, he takes the fistful. Now, bein ha-binayim shel malay kumtza, regarding the area that's between the fingers when he takes the fistful, ma'o, what's the halacha on the area between? In other words, is that part of the kemitza, and therefore that's going to be sacrificed in Mizbeach? Or are they part of the shirayim, the leftovers, and therefore they're going to be eaten? So as the Gemara explains, as the Gemara qualifies this question, Amar Papa says, regarding when one scoops up, so there's some stuck between the fingers. So those that are inside, that you could see from the inside of the fingers, which are facing the palm, that's not a question. That's definitely part of the kemitza. And devroi loy tiboylach, also those which are sticking out from outside of the fingers, that's also not a question. Devadi shirayim, those are definitely shirayim, those are remnants because they're outside of the kemitza. Kitibaylach de beini beini. The only question is actually between the fingers, not sticking out or sticking in, my. That was the question. Are those considered part of the kaimitz and from the inside, or is that part of shirayim from the outside part? So Amar Biechin said, Hadu Pashti Yeshu ben Uzzah, Yeshu ben Uzzah ultimately resolved this question by saying, the resolution was that saying that the area between the fingers is actually in doubt. It's not clear if it's shirayim or if it's kaimitz. And therefore, hechir of it. So how does one go about doing it? What do you do? It's, if it's the kaimitz, you have to burn it on the mizbeach. If it's shirayim, you have to eat it. And you can't do one on the other. So what does one do? So Amir B'chanan says that, first of all, makter kaimitz l'chudei t'chila. The first thing you do is, you take what is the kemitza, what is on the inside between the fingers and the palm, and that you sacrifice first. And that is the part that, again, was from the actual kemitza. The hod ben minam, and then afterwards, this doubtful area, which is the area between the fingers, then you also burn that on the mizbeach after that, as he explains. The amad ben minam bereshit, because you say that first you'll burn those, that part of the flower offering that's between the fingers, but dima shirayim ninu, maybe, since we're in doubt, we don't know, maybe they're really the remnants of the mincha. And therefore, if one would burn them before he burns the kaimitz on the mizbeach, the havalu shirayim shecharsu ben kemitz laktaret, that would be the equivalent in the halacha of having some of the remnants that are lacking, in other words, they go missing between the act of the kemitza and the burning, the haktara of the kemitza. Because that's what we're saying, because if before you burn the kemitza, you're going to burn that part between the fingers, that's not going to be around anymore. It's going to be chaser, and that's going to be from the shirayim, it possibly, because we're not sure, between the kemitza and the haktara of the kemitz. And yet, v'amamar, and the Gemara says, Masechtas Benachas Naf Tes Amud Beis, shirayim shechaser, regarding remnants of a mincha that are missing, that is, if they got dispersed, between the act of taking the fistful of that of that part of the mincha and the burning of it, that one's not allowed to any more sacrifice the kaimitz anymore as a askara for the rest of the mincha. And that is as the Gemara brings in the Braisa Masechet Menachos over there, because it says that the kaimitz should be taken min ha mincha from the mincha, which excludes that if it's missing or if the kaimitz is missing, it's not the full mincha, and therefore that wouldn't be included in the halacha of being makdir the kaimitz. So therefore we wouldn't be able to go ahead and burn the Beina Binayim first, because maybe it's really part of the Shrayim. And therefore we first burn the Kaimitz, and then afterwards we burn the part that's between the fingers, because we're in doubt if it's a Kaimitz or if it's from the Shrayim. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, that we said that first we're going to first burn the Kaimitz and then the parts between the fingers, because we're in doubt if it's the Shrayim or Kaimitz, and you can't do that first, because if it's Shrayim, that means the Shrayim part of it went missing between the Kamitza of the Kaimitz and of the Haktar of the Kaimitz. But then the option that we're trying to say now is also difficult, because hashtanami ikrikan, because even the way we're saying to first burn the kaimitz and then the part between the fingers, it will also still be a problem, because it will apply in the halachic principle of kol shem menu li'ishim, that whatever had that part of it was already put on the fires, meaning according to halachas, let's say what the kaimitz is, that it's already put on the fire, that means harehu, that means the shirayim, the leftovers, are bibal taktiru, are included in the isser of burning it on the mizbeach. As it says in the passing of Yikra Beis, it says, Lo yisak tiru mimenu ish l'Hashem. You should not burn from it on the fires to Hashem. What that means is that you should not burn something that it already had placed from it on the fire. In other words, if it had its claim, it's put onto the fire, you now go ahead and take any other of it, in other words, the remnants, and put on the Mizbeach. And therefore, yes, you can't do it burning the Beina Binayim first, because then if it's Shirayim, you have that problem. But the problem is, if you burn the kaimitz first, now you also can't go ahead and burn it now either, because you already had the kamitza that was burnt for it. You already had that part of it was ish l'Hashem, which the pasuk then says, you can't go ahead and burn any other part of it now l'Hashem. And therefore, how does it help now to do the kaimitz and then binayim afterwards? You can't burn it now either way. So you can't burn it first, but you can't do it afterwards. So why are we saying that first you burn the kaimitz and then the binayim? So I'm a Behuda B'reidu B'shem Ben Pasi, he says, it's not a problem. You first burn the kaimitz, and then you burn the parts of the flower offering that's between the fingers. Because demakter lei l'shum etzim, when you're going to burn it on the mizbeach, after you already burned the kaimitz, you burn it with the intention that it should be considered firewood, so to speak, for the mizbeach. And that is, he makes a condition, he says, look, if they're shirayim, then they should be like other pieces of wood that it's just to use as fuel for the mizbeach. In other words, if it's part of the kaimitz, so that it's part of it, it's being put on now, it's being added. But if it was really not part of the kaimitz, part of Shirayim, then you make this precondition that's saying that, look, don't consider it like a part of the mincha, which would be a problem of bal taktiru, but rather look at it as fuel, as the Gemara says, like Rebbe Eliezer says, which he argues in Masechet Zvachim, and Ein Zayin and Aleph, there was a machlokes regarding a case where the limbs of a chatas, which are the leftovers, and that's because one had already sacrificed the emum, the sacrificial parts that have to be burnt from the karma chatas. Now, those pieces of the chatas, which are not supposed to be brought up anymore, because it already had its sacrificial parts burned, got mixed up with the limbs of a carbon oilo, which are all burnt on the mizbeach. So what does one do? One cannot eat it, because maybe it's part of the oilo. One cannot burn it, because maybe it's part of the chatas. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you put it all on top of the mizbeach, and you burn it all. And I will view it. In other words, that's what the concept of where the Gemara is coming from is, that the meat of the chatas that's on the mizbeach, as if it's firewood. And that is the time, like we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Aimee says, the whole prohibition of burning something on the mizbeach, that's from the remnants, that's not supposed to be burnt, l'reich nichoyach i'atamala. You're not allowed to be bringing it up to burn on mizbeach for the concept of it being a satisfying aroma, when it's viewed as a carbon. Because it's kaimitz, it's parts the emurim already brought. This is the leftovers. That's not supposed to be brought. But you could bring it up and use it as fuel. Just like we could bring up wood, so too we could bring this up and use it as fuel. And if we're not looking at it as in the concept of in the category in the viewing it as a carbon, rather we view it as fuel. And that's how you're allowed to do it. So that we make it a condition. If this part between the fingers is shirayim, is part of the kaimitz, then it's part of the kaimitz and it's supposed to be brought up in Tamas Beach. If it's not, if it's from the shrine, then look at it as if it's fuel. Now, the Gemara says, Hodnichel Rebbe Eliezer. But that Teretz only works according to Rebbe Eliezer. El Rabbanah Maikalim. According to Rabbanah, the Aga and Rebbe Eliezer, Masech Lezvachim, they hold that, no, you can't do that, because it's a part of a chatas, that's a leftovers. You can't view it, quote-unquote, as fuel. And therefore, that would be in the Isra Baltak Tira, and you can't go ahead and bring it up. So according to their opinion, what would one be able to say regarding the parts of the flour offering that's between the fingers? It's in doubt, but what do we do? You can't bring it as the kaimitz, because maybe it's shirayim, and you can't eat it, because maybe it's part of the kaimitz. So Rav Mari, says, what one should do, according to Pinyin Rabbanan, is the kamtzi shmeini. You should have fat kohanim go ahead and do the kmitza. And the reason is because the flesh of their fingers stick out because of the width of their fingers, and they stick one, they're tight one against the other, and therefore when he does the kmitza, no flour is going to get between his fingers because they're very close to each other because of the thickness of his finger, because of his flesh. And therefore you won't come to the situation of doubt, because you're right, a regular kohen has this problem, we don't know what to do with it. But then the Gemara says, Hashd Aslahi, once you came to that and you have to say according to Rabbanan, that's the only way to do it, is to have a fatter kind do the kmitza, then Ribliezer Nami Likatchila, the Kamti Shmeini. So even according to Ribliezer, initially one should have a fatter kind do it and to totally avoid this question of what to do with the flour thing between the fingers. And that's because Ribliezer did not permit to bring up just in general, oh, you have leftover piece of chatas, you don't want to eat it, I bring it up as fuel. He doesn't let it, only because when it's mixed in with the limbs of an oila, that it shouldn't go out and be burnt, as the Rabbanan say that's what happens to it, that it goes out to be burnt because we don't know what to do with it. We don't know which is the oila, which is the chatas. In such a situation, and then under those circumstances, he lets it be brought up in the classification of as fuel as firewood. But generally, just to go ahead and bring it up, one doesn't. Therefore, one would want to avoid it, even according to Eliezer. So therefore, according to everybody, you have kahanim that are shmeinim, that are fat, that they do it, and therefore the flour will never get between their fingers, and you'll totally avoid that question. Now the Gemara continues with many different questions from Rapapa relating to this sugya of chafina, of what our Mishnah was talking about, of the handfuls of keteris that the Kohen Gadol takes in Yom Kippurim. And the Gemara introduces it with a similar, with a mnemonic, which talks about the different categories of questions that he talks about. You have Bein HaBinayim, you have the parts of the Keteris that will be between his fingers, you have Pasha, that which was obvious, you have a Machat, that which will be leveled, a Pizar, which is dispersed, and Bechishav, Bechafinus Chaveri, and intending it to be with the handfuls of his friends. Simon, that's a mnemonic for the following questions that Rav Papa will ask. So the first question is, Boy Rav Papa asked, Bein HaBinayim, as we said, that was the first simon, between the fingers, in other words, when the Kohen Gadol is taking the Keteris, Shel Maloi Chafnav Mahu, so when he takes the handfuls of Keteris, so when he's taking those handfuls, if he has parts of the Keteris that are between his fingers, what is the halacha with those parts of the Keteris? Are they the parts that are sacrificed and as incense on the coals? Or are they not considered Maloi Chafna because they're between his fingers and maybe they're like from what's outside his fingers? So that the Gemara asks first on what Rav Papa was asking. Maikami Boile, what exactly is Rav Papa's question? E Gamar, if he learns, which this was a question that was not resolved on Amud Aleph, if he learns Maloi Maloi Mihasam, if he learns that it says Maloi by the Keteris, it says Miloi by the Kemitza of a Mincha, and therefore he would want to learn that just like a Kemitza, by the mincha, where what's sticking out is not sacrificed on the Mizbeach, so too he compares the Keteris, that also says Maloi, the fullness, by the Chafina, what's sticking out is also invalid. So if he makes that Gezeirah Shava, which again the Gemara Nomenav did not resolve if we do or do not, but then Hainu Hach. Then essentially, it's the same question we had already asked this once before. And as we asked the question, is one allowed to make a mida, a measurement, for the chafina, for the fistful, for the handfuls of the Keteris? And therefore, that's where the Gemara introduced, that question was dependent on if we make this Gezer Shava of Maloi, Maloi or not. Now, as Rashi explains, that both these questions are essentially the same question. And that's because this problem of what's sticking out of the fistful, and similarly, the problem of making the measurement, both for the kmitz of the flour offering, they are both learnt out from Komtzai, his fistful. The Gemara learns out that it should be done with his fistful and that it shouldn't be done with a measurement of the fistful. And similarly, regarding what's called the birutzin, that's what's sticking out of his fistful, the Braisa also learns it out that it said Yochem Avurutz, you could think that the fistful should have stuff, flour that's sticking out. Tamalim b'kumtzai, that's what it taught, that it should be his fistful, then nothing should be sticking out. So both these halachas, regarding the flour offering of the kaimitz, that it cannot be a measurement, it has to be his fist, and also that it can't be anything sticking out, it has to be just exactly what's inside, both of them were learned out from the same word of bekumtzai. Now, therefore the Gemara is asking Rav Papa's question, if it's obvious that we do learn the gzeirah shava from the kaimitz of the mincha to the chafina of the keteris, because they both say malay malay. So it's as if it says that term of kumtzai, let's say, by the chafina, by the taking the handfuls, and therefore both questions would be resolved. So therefore, the Gemara is asking on Rav Papa's question, what are you asking? We already asked this question before. Is one allowed to take a measurement for his chafina, or do you have to actually use your handfuls? Now, although it sounds like he's asking a different question, that what's with the parts that's sticking out, as we spoke about Bein Binaim of the Kaimitz, that we said that's doubtful if it's one or the other, but that's coming from the source of the halacha, that whatever's sticking out is the outside and is not considered of what's burnt as a sacrifice. Now, therefore, what's he asking? That is the same. We already had this question. We don't know. Do we make the Gzeirah Shav Malay Malay or not? And if he makes the Gzeirah Shav Malay Malay, so then what's the question? Of course, that what's outside is not going to be part of it, because it has the same halacha as kumtze, which they both learned out of from kumtze, from the same word. They both come and they're in the same criteria. So why is he asking the second question if it's essentially the same question we asked before? So that the Gemara answers, Rav Papa Hachi Boile. This was Rav Papa's question, and that is, even without Gzeir Shava of Malay Malay, you could still have Rav Papa's question. And that is because he said as follows. It says in the Pasuk regarding the Keteris, this is Malay Chafnaf, it says it should be his handfuls, and it says Vehevi, and that he should bring it. Now, Be'ina, that's what one requires, Vaha'ika, and therefore, one has that when he's bringing his handfuls, and whatever is in between his fingers is also considered in his handfuls, that's what gets into his hands. Maybe that would be a qualification of what the pasuk is requiring, and therefore that would be put onto the coals. Idilma, or maybe, and this was the question, nothing to do with comparison to the kaimitz of the mincha, maybe the pasuk says, the lokach vehevi, that he should take and bring. Be'ina, that's what necessary. V'holaka, and that he doesn't have. And the reason is because lekicha sounds like that it's an intentional taking. Now, what ends up getting between the fingers, that happens by itself. When you're intending to scoop up, you're trying to get it in your hand, in the palm of your hand. What ends up trickling in between the fingers was not intended. And therefore, that's the Gemara's question. Do we say whatever he takes is included in Maloi Chafna Vehevi? Or maybe no, maybe learn into the word V'lokach, that has to be intentional taking. And this, what's between the fingers, is not an intentional taking. And therefore, that would not be valid. Now, how, as Rashi explains, however, regarding the other question that was mentioned on Amud Aleph, can one take a specific measurement of the chafina and not actually use his hands? That question is only viable if one learns the Gzer Shava, because the term v'lokach, that it's saying it has to be intentional, from there we don't learn anything that you cannot use a measurement for the kemitza, because as Rashi says, that there's a halachic concept of l'kicha al-dei davar achash mo l'kicha, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah. Taking something through something else by using a utensil is considered taking, and therefore it would still be possible, v'lokach would mean with a measurement, and therefore there are two different questions. Although, yes, if one learns Gzeir Shava, that would include the question Rav Papa is asking, but we're saying even if one does not learn the Gzeir Shava, and maybe you cannot use a midah. However, Rav Papa's question still applies regarding what happens in the area between the fingers. Is that included in Maloi Chafna Vehevi? Because it's his hands full. Who cares that it's between his fingers? Well, maybe Balakach says it has to be purposeful, and what's between the fingers is not purposeful, and therefore that would not be what goes on to the coals. He wants to take it, let it stand. It's not clear what is the halacha with the part of the keteris that's between the Kohen Gadol's fingers. Now the next part of the mnemonic. Amar Papa says, Pshitali, and this is what it said, Pashat was the second mnemonic. It's obvious to me that Maloi Kumtzai, when the Torah says regarding the flour offering on the regular mincha, that it has to be the fullness of his fist, Kedekamtzienchi, it means like people generally take a scoopful of, let's say, flour, which is that you have the sides of the fingers going downward, which is you have it going vertical, that's how it goes into the flour offering to get the flour. However, the Rav Papa has many questions regarding the procedure of the flour offering regarding the kaimitz, which is done unconventional. And then he has the same questions regarding the chafina, the keteris, when it's also done not in the conventional way, as he says. However, Boyer Papa does have the following questions. Kamatz barashi etz ba'isav. If let's say he does the kemitza of the flour offerings with the tip of his fingers, and that is, he has the palm of his hand facing down, and he sticks his fingers into the flour, and then he, like almost like a shovel, like the trucks that go ahead and scoop up a fistful of flour until he has it on his whole entire palm of his hand, would that also be valid? Mahu, what's the halacha over there? Because we said generally the way you do it is you get your fingers coming down. That is how vertically it comes down. And then that's how you get it. But here he does it with his palm down. And he scoops it up with his fingertips. What would be the halacha over there? A similar question. Milmata lamala. If he's going from bottom up, which means to say that he actually turns his hand the other way. He has the back of his hand going down. Then he turns his fingers backward, and with his fingertips, he scoops up into his hand. Mahu would be the halach over there? Would that also be a valid maloi kumtzai? A similar question. Minat tzadim, from the sides. In other words, indirect way, which is, in other words, not what the word minat tzad means, as it's used in the parlance of Halcha Shabbos, which means to say in a non-conventional way, not like other people, not with his palm down, but rather what he does is that he puts the back of his hand forcefully down into the flour, and then the flour, just by the sheer force of his hand going down, comes into his fistful that he has through his fingers. Now, what would the halacha be over there? Would that also be valid in Malay Kumtzai? And that, the Gemara says, take a let it stand. It's not clear, although you're getting the same amounts as one normally does in the conventional way of doing a Kemitzah fistful, if this would be valid in the format of getting a Malay Kumtzai. Now, similar to this, Amar Papa, he says, Pshitali, again, it's obvious to me that Malay Chafnaf, when you have to have the handfuls of Ketiris, is like people generally go ahead and scoop up when they're taking two handfuls of, for example, Ketiris, where you stick the edges of the palm of your hand downward, so you're scooping up like this. That's how generally people do it, and that would be valid for Malay Chafnaf. However, Bayar Papa has, similar as he had the questions regarding the clements of the flower offering, regarding the Chafina of the Ketiris. What's if he scoops it up with the tips of his fingertips? That's how he scoops it up with mahu. What would the halacha be over there? Would that also be valid? Similarly, milmatu lamal mahu, if he's going from bottom upward, as we said before, what would that halacha be? Or minat sad mahu, if he does it in an indirect way, if he just puts it down and by the sheer force of going down, it ends up getting swallowed up into his hands, what would the halacha be over there? Or similarly, chafin bezu bezu. If he scoops up with this hand separate and this hand separate, then then he brings them close next to each other. Not normally as one would do with two handfuls to do them together. Maha wawd halacha be over there. On that Tosis says that although we asked the same questions regarding the kemitza, why we asking the same exact questions regarding the chafina is because maybe kemitza, and that's what the Rapapa's questions were, maybe there it is normative on some level to do the kemitza of the flower offerings that way. However, that wouldn't resolve, and therefore the same questions apply to the chafina. Would we say the same thing would apply to handfuls of keteris or not? But the Gemara says, take or let it stand. It's not clear if these would be included in the malay chafna that's necessary for the keteris.